Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, January 12, 2021, coming to you from my home studio. We start on the front page. City Council dining changes delayed. City wants to avoid direct conflict with governor's office. This article is by Tony Reed, Decatur. City Council members struggled Monday night and eventually delayed a vote over whether to allow indoor dining and service at Decatur's restaurants and bars. Restrictive ordinances had been put in place in August to hold the city in compliance with executive orders from Governor J.B. Pritzker as he tried to tamp down a massive surge in COVID-19 infections. Bars and restaurants have been repeatedly cited by medical experts as major sources of virus spread, although some experts dispute those findings. Even Pritzker, however, appears ready to at least reconsider what are known as Tier 3 restrictions on indoor dining beginning January 15th. The governor has cited positive trends in infection rates, and some local restaurants have already been telling customers they expect indoor service to resume January 15th. There were impassioned pleas on both sides and from guest speakers like Brandy Binkley, the administrator of the Macon County Health Department. "Please don't make this move at this time," she said. "We ask you to continue to stay the course and help save the lives you have been saving by the measures you have taken in the past." City Manager Scott Wrighton had warned against defying the Pritzker's orders, fearing the potential for adverse legal action or reduction in state funding in retaliation. But several council members were swayed by the economic damage done by COVID lockdowns, and as bars, restaurants, and gambling parlors saw their customer base being strangled to the point where, in some cases, the survival of their businesses was in doubt. Councilman Chuck Cooley had proposed at least allowing restaurants and bars to open at 25% capacity. He said the city could not keep putting the issue off as businesses withered and died. "We can't just sit here indefinitely," he said of the council. But others were not persuaded. Councilman David Horn in Macon County said Macon County had the highest death rate of any county in central Illinois. "I'm strongly opposed to eliminating the city's COVID-19 safety ordinances and their subsequent enforcement," he added. Deputy City Manager John Kinseth, speaking in advance of Monday's meeting and anticipating Monday's decision, said the city was still anxious to avoid coming into direct conflict with Pritzker's office. He said any decision to remove restrictions and penalties preventing indoor dining and service was not the same as promoting it. Kinseth said the city was considering leaving the decision whether to offer indoor services up to the businesses themselves, effectively looking the other way while business owners got on with their jobs. And Kinseth was also careful to point out that the city's ordinance decision wasn't the only crucial factor at stake here. The deputy city manager noted the Macon County Health Department has the power to pull food licenses and act to shut down businesses it felt posed a danger. That, however, may be about to change. A meeting of the County Board's Environmental, Education, Health, and Wellness Committee on Tuesday is set to look at whether to limit the Health Department's COVID-related enforcement activities. In a previous interview with the Herald and Review, she said any attempt by her own County Board to try and second-guess the Health Department's efforts to safeguard the public was, quote, "very dangerous," unquote. She had told the Herald and Review, quote, "I don't support it," unquote. In other business at Monday's City Council meeting, statistics presented to council members showed that relaxing restrictions is far from the only post-virus help being handed out to businesses and families in Decatur. Kinseth had earlier noted that the city had received some $2.4 million in federal funds to help struggling individuals and companies hit by the financial fallout from the virus. He said the cash aid has come from multiple different aid programs, but amounted to the same thing. Quote, "all money ultimately provided to businesses or residents," unquote, Kinseth said. And Wrighton, in a report to the council on Monday, said there is still more than $428,000 in cash help waiting to be used. He said the distribution rules for dispersing the money allowed for a broad range of uses, ranging from operating costs for programs to help the homeless to workforce development and assistance for homeowners. We move on to Together Decatur. Trooper Tracy, officers' outreach shows the human side of law enforcement. This article is by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Standing nearly 6 feet tall, Sergeant Tracy Lillard should have an intimidating presence in her Illinois State Police uniform. However, her immediate smile gives away her true personality. "I try to blend in," she said. More commonly known as Trooper Tracy, the officer serves as the department's statewide social media coordinator and has garnered a following in central Illinois. Whether she is in her uniform or not, "people recognize me," she said, "online or in person. Lillard is entertaining and fun to be around." She has delivered Christmas gifts to Webster Cantrell Youth Advocacy, demonstrated what happens when a canine officer attacks someone, and during her more serious presentations, explained to local high school students the consequences of distracted driving. Lillard's Facebook page shows her human and personal side, and that of fellow officers. In one post, she could be seen reading a children's book while sitting in a police car. The next post may be a humorous reminder for drivers to turn on their lights on a foggy day. "If I had a dollar for every vehicle I saw today in the first hour of my shift without the headlights on, I'd be a millionaire," she posted recently. "Well, probably closer to $738, but you get my point." Much of her job on social media is to showcase the personal side of being a state trooper. "I'm a mom, and I'm a wife, and I have a family," she said. "People can relate to me. When we can talk to people on a more personal level, I think people respond a lot better." Lillard often visits classrooms, connecting with students and family. "These are great connections we can make with the community," she said, "and they happen organically." Jim Watts, donor relations manager with the Central Illinois Community Blood Center, has worked alongside Lillard for various blood donation events. "She gives 110% on everything she's ever done for us," he said. Promoting blood donations is part of Watts's job. The public expects to hear the importance of giving blood from him and his staff. "They get tired of seeing me," he said, "but when you have a state trooper saying, 'Go give blood,' people look at it differently." Blood donation is important to Lillard, whose husband needed transfusions after a health scare this past year. "Those blood products saved his life," she said. Throughout her 20-year career, she has witnessed accidents and crashes where blood donations were important in saving lives. She was a frequent blood donor even before her husband was sick. One of her recent donations was during a national Blue Blood Drive, an event to support law enforcement. "I feel this is a way for me to give back to the community," Lillard said. Stephanie Calibus, community development advocate with the Blood Center, connected with Lillard and her family while they were promoting blood donations. "She's very bubbly and positive," Calibus said. "We've had a great time sharing." Giving blood is not a fun activity. Watts has seen Lillard use her personality to bridge the gap between its importance and family values. "She's mostly about the community," Watts said. Like many, Watts followed Trooper Tracy's social media accounts. He wanted to reach out to her, hoping she would support blood donations. She is a local celebrity, he said. Watts also found old photos of Lillard interacting with his children at past Illinois State Fair family events. "This isn't new," he said about Lillard's face among the community. "This is something she's been doing, interacting with the community for years." While there has been some negativity surrounding those in law enforcement during the past year, Lillard said her encounters with the public have been mostly positive. "In the last couple of years, we've just had an overwhelming response from the public greeting us," Lillard said. "A lot of people come out to the woodwork shop I'm sorry, a little off this morning. A lot of people have come out of the woodwork to show appreciation and support law enforcement. Many police officers have a stern presence in the public. Lillard is aware of the image. But each of those people, they have families just like I do, she said. We're no different than the rest of the community. We just happen to be police officers. We just happen to wear a uniform. We're human just like everybody else. What the community sees in the public or on the screen is Lillard's true personality. The more authentic I can be, whether I'm doing a post or a story, I think people see that, she said. That transparency is what continues to make them trust us. Some photos that accompany the article here. It's of the blood center and the donating chairs. Illinois State Police Sergeant Tracy Lillard gives blood during National Bleed Blue Week at Community Blood Services of Illinois in Urbana. Lillard has a Facebook page called Trooper Tracy, where she shows the human side of law enforcement through posts that include storybook readings and other videos geared toward children and positive messages. She is also a regular blood donor. This photo is by Clay Jackson from the Herald and Review. And in another photo of Trooper Tracy, she talks with the media before she gives blood during National Bleed Blue Week at Community Blood Services of Illinois in Urbana. Her job among the public is as information officer and social media coordinator. There's no caption on this photo. There is a sidebar. Hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Well, if so, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett@herald-review.com. Okay, moving on here. Move on to the local and state page, page A3. Vaccine distribution advances. Some entering next phase, restrictions may be rolled back. This article is by Grace Barbic from Springfield, Capital Illinois, CapitalNewsIllinois.com. Some regions of the state could see loosened COVID-19 restrictions as early as Friday, as some counties have already transitioned to the next phase of vaccine distribution, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced Monday. Although the state remains in phase 1A of its vaccine distribution plan, some communities which have substantially completed phase 1A have moved to the early stages of phase 1B. We want to make sure any available vaccine is administered quickly to the priority groups that we've laid out, Pritzker said. Let's get those out to phase 1B people. Even though we haven't moved everybody into the next phase, we don't want any of these vaccines sitting around. Those in phase 1A who are receiving vaccines include healthcare workers and residents of long-term care facilities. Phase 1B would extend vaccine priority to non-healthcare essential workers and residents age 65 and older. Pritzker said he expects to make a formal announcement later this week regarding when the entire state will move into Phase 1B. Even when the entire state transitions into Phase 1B, those who were eligible for Phase 1A who have not yet been vaccinated are still authorized to receive the vaccine in its next phase. The federally mandated pharmacy partnership program administered approximately 334,939 vaccinations as of Sunday night, 36,867 by pharmacy partners CVS and Walgreens, and 298,072 by the state's public and private health care providers. Pritzker recently joined eight other governors in urging President-elect Joe Biden to release more available vaccine doses, noting that the federal government, under President Donald Trump's administration, has been holding back enormous stores of vaccines. The Biden administration has agreed to release nearly all available vaccines upon taking office. The statewide COVID-19 rolling positivity rate remained below 8% for the second consecutive day Monday at 7.6%. Illinois reported 4,776 new confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 on Monday, with 53 additional virus-related deaths. The state is reporting a total of 1,033,526 cases for a total of 17,627 deaths across the state's 102 counties. A total of 66,697 test results have been reported Monday. Over 14.1 million test results in the state have been reported since the pandemic began. As of Sunday night, 3,540 people in Illinois were reported to be in hospital beds for COVID-19, an increase of 13 from the day prior, and 759 COVID-19 patients were in intensive care unit beds, an increase from 19 from the previous day. There were 401 patients reported to be on ventilators, an increase of 10 from the day prior. Macon County added 134 more positive COVID-19 cases since Friday, health officials said. The Macon County Health Department said the new cases brings the total number of positive cases in the county to 8,579 since the pandemic began. COVID-related deaths recorded in Macon County remained at 163. And there's additional information here. Staff writer Garrett Karsten contributed to this report. On-campus saliva test began. Millikan University using University of Illinois developed test. This article is by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Millikan University's basketball team is really looking forward to playing some actual games and new saliva-based COVID-19 testing, which started at the university on Monday, will help make this possible. We've been practicing since October and haven't played any games, said Calvin Fisher, a junior from Monticello. He was the first Millikan student in line for the new test. The tests will be available 8 a.m. to noon daily in Dolson Hall, said Rafaela Prang, Vice President of Student Affairs and Student Development. It's a polymerase chain reaction PCR test in partnership with Shield Illinois. The test, developed at the University of Illinois, is awaiting U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval, and the cost is significantly lower than other COVID-19 tests. It can also be administered by those without extensive medical training. Most saliva tests on the market are antigen-based tests, which are not as reliable, Prang said. The difference with the saliva test, it's much less invasive, which is less scary for folks, and the results are available in between 6 and 12 hours, which is a fast turnaround. We have our own clinic on campus as opposed to students going out into the community, and we can also make sure that the students can participate in things like athletics, performing those tests to make sure the students are negative before participating in those experiences together. PCR tests are considered the gold standard in COVID-19 testing, more likely to detect the virus and less likely to give a false positive reading. Students and staff will spit into a test tube, making the test less invasive and less intimidating than the typical nasal swab test, and HSHS St. Mary's Hospital will test the samples for the university. Those getting the tests are instructed to refrain from eating, drinking, including water, brushing their teeth, or using tobacco for at least an hour prior to the test. The first week, Prang said, athletes and a few other students already on campus will be tested with the rest of the students arriving next week to begin the spring term, and testing will ramp up then. We will continue surveillance testing of our student athletes and theater and dance students for the rest of the term, she said. We will be able to test asymptomatic students, any student who are contact traced to positive cases. Students will also get some hands-on experience on the other side of the tube, helping give the tests, like Ritu Jass, a psychology major minoring in biology. She already has experience working at Crossing Healthcare giving COVID tests. I wanted to get involved in the community, and it will financially help, she said. Students like Jass suited up in masks, gloves, and gowns to take the tests and were instructed in the information required to be logged with each test, name, address, phone, ethnicity, and race, and birthday. Information on tests is shared with the Illinois Department of Public Health. We were the first two to have the opportunity to test on campus, which is a big plus for us because we've been going downtown to the Civic Center to test, So this opportunity to test on campus is convenient. We're going to get results quicker, said basketball coach Mark Scherer. So let's say I go on the road recruiting to a hotspot. I come back and test and isolate myself until that test comes back negative. So this is going to allow us to be a lot more productive. Charges. Oh, sorry, there is a photo here. Junior Calvin Fisher answers questions from site coordinator Acelia Derensburg-Cook before taking the saliva-based COVID-19 test on Monday at Dolson Hall on the campus of Millikan University. The testing is being rolled out to athletes and a handful of students this week in advance of the start of the new semester next week. It is the same test developed and used at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, which provides quicker results. This photo is by Clay Jackson, Herald and Review. Charges for man who shot his foot. Articles by Tony Reed, Decatur. A 28-year-old man with a bleeding foot broke down in tears when police arrived at a Decatur house and asked him if he had a gun and if he shot it, according to a sworn affidavit. Decatur Police Officer Tim Whitmer said police also noticed blood on the floor and a smashed glass door when they arrived at the home in the 4400 block of North Lawson Drive at 10 a.m. Saturday. When the man was asked about the blood, he stated he shot himself in the foot, added Whitmer. He did have a bullet hole in his boot and was bleeding from a wound to his foot. He has a history of mental illness. Police said the man had been on a supervised visit to his 4-year-old son at the time of the shooting, and the child was present along with the man's 26-year-old brother. There was another bullet shot by the man at this residence that was shot from outside on the back porch through a glass door into the house through the north wall and then into the south wall of the neighbor's house, said Whitmer. The officer said police had been responding to a shots fired alert and had received numerous calls about a man dressed in all black who had fired a gun before walking inside a house on North Lawson Drive. The man was booked on preliminary charges of the aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, aggravated discharge of a firearm, and endangering the life or health of a child. He was also cited for having no FOID card. A check of Macon County jail records Monday showed the man remained in custody with bail set at $100,000, meaning he must post $10,000 to be released. Prosecutors had asked for bail of $150,000. If he makes bail, he is ordered to have no contact with his son without approval of the Department of Children and Family Services. Shemila Outreach Center officially opens their doors. Valerie Wells, Decatur. One of the first things that attracts Rose Cobb to Shemila's Outreach Center is the dance team. We dance, we get our schoolwork done, we interact with each other, said Rose, a sophomore at MacArthur High School. We get involved with the community. We've got a summer program that's coming up where we plant flowers and stuff like that. It's a Decatur group gathering, just getting stuff done. Shamuel Sanders lost his daughter, Shemila, to gun violence in June when she was with a group near the Garfield Overpass. Her group and another group got into a confrontation, and as she was running away, she was shot in the back of the neck. Paul M. Folks, 41, is charged with her death and awaiting trial. He has pleaded not guilty and is due for a pretrial hearing on January 25th. In her memory, her father began the Shemila Outreach Center, hoping to help young people realize they have options. Over the summer, he provided landscape work for which the young people earned pocket money and gained experience they can use later to obtain other jobs. He and Lieutenant Kenisa DeBella met, and DeBella offered him the use of the meeting room at the Salvation Army's headquarters on West Main Street. The program serves kids ages 6 to 17, but Sanders also wants to eventually expand to the young adults, he said. I know to reach the youth, we need to also reach the young men and young women in this community, Sanders said. The Reverend Rod Wilson and others in the community came to him after Shemila's death, he said. I want to thank them for being a shoulder to cry on when I lost my daughter to gun violence, he said. They came to my garage. They knew I was in pain, and they said, get up, let's pray. Wilson said that instead of losing his way in his pain, Sanders dreamed of helping others, other young people, and doing everything he could to steer them away from violence. I do all the praying for the group and for all our youth out everywhere, everything we get, he said. Shamila's smiling graduation photo is prominently displayed in the center, where Sanders hopes kids can learn and support each other in finding productive and safe things to keep them busy. Certified teachers like Decatur teacher Nicole Young tutor them if they need academic help. And Shamika Sanders, daughter of Shamuel, is known as Coach Shamika to the girls who are on the dance team. The girls are already signed up for dance competitions in St. Louis and Chicago and will take their show on the road in the next few months. We try to move this community forward, and we've got a lot of problems to overcome, and no one's going to say this is a perfect place, said Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, who met with Sanders early in the process and spoke at the dedication ceremony. I love Decatur, and I love the people of Decatur, and it's people like the ones I see out here today, people who have a vision for making it a better community that can come together and work at it. Okay. Well, we are at a point here where if we started another article, we probably wouldn't finish it. So I'm going to read the WCIA 4-day forecast on the weather page B8 as we wrap up the first half hour. Today, mostly sunny, high of 40, wind southwest 5 to 15. Tonight, 27, mostly clear, wind southwest 5 to 15. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high of 43 and low of 30. Winds southwest 15 to 25. Thursday, mostly cloudy, high of 44 and low of 31. Wind south 5 to 15. Friday, mostly cloudy and flurries, high of 35, low of 24. Wind northwest 10 to 20. The regional outlook: after a long stretch of days, we will finally see some sunshine this week. Along with the sun will be some higher temperatures in the 40s. That won't last long, though, due to a cold front Thursday. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, January 12, 2021. We'll take a short break now and come back. Please join us as we return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review.